Hey, guess what, everyone? You've already been listening to a MultipleSources.net podcast. For more episodes of It's Always Sunny in Phoenix podcast, as well as other content such as other NBA teams, pro wrestling, and even comic books, visit MultipleSources.net. And if you want to join the MS family, go to the website. MS is always looking for more writers and other podcasts and video editors as well. If you want to join the family, go to MultipleSources.net and check out the sidebar. It's somewhere over there.
Are you ready?
You'll find it.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to It's Always Sunny in Phoenix, a weekly podcast where we keep you up to date on everything Phoenix Suns basketball. Today, we're going to talk about the start of the NBA free agency period and the moves the Suns have already made. So, we will be discussing the addition of JMZ, Jared Dudley, and the losses of Mirza Teletovic and John Luer, along with some highlights from the past few days. After that, we'll get into the recently released Summer League roster and what we'll be looking forward to seeing in the Vegas Summer League. I'm your host, Charlie, and the whole crew is here today. David, Mitch, what's up, guys?
Well, if anyone couldn't tell from that intro, I'm a little under the weather, but I'm fighting through it.
Keep fighting. It's good to be back. I don't like missing podcasts, but I was in Africa for the last one that we recorded, so I think it was a good reason to miss, but yeah, I'm glad to be back.
That's one of the few acceptable reasons why you can miss one, so you pass there. We're all good.
Okay, perfect.
All right, well, free agency has started off with a bang, and there's been a few Suns from last season that have parted ways, and we got an old Sun back. So let's talk about Jared Dudley coming back to the Suns. He was great here during the Nash years, and he was a fan favorite, and I think a lot of us fans are ready to have him back. What do you guys think about Dudley?
Yeah, I was sad when he went originally. He was part of that Bledsoe trade. I'm glad to have him back. I always liked him. JMZ was great, and I'm really excited. Just watching him the last couple of years with him on other teams, I was like, man, I wish he was just back on the Suns. That'd be great. And ta-da.
Yeah, I'm happy to have him too. He's another guy that'll have some veteran leadership. Not to quite the same extent as Tyson, but similar, in the same vein as Tyson Chandler. I know people have been saying, like, oh, wow, how did he get so much money for being the kind of player he is? Well, with the raise of the salary cap, his contract actually is not anything too crazy. So I think we got him for a good value, and he'll be a nice addition to our team once again.
Yeah, and I don't think people are giving him crap as much about his contract. I think everyone's just decided that $10 million a year might be just the new, like, normal role player money, like almost like the mid-level exception, and they're just like, yep, that's fine. It's not a Mozgov deal, so we're good.
Right. It's weird, though, to see these huge numbers. It's like, even though we know the cap was raised, I'm like, they gave him how much? And then you look, oh, wait, actually, it's not that much. But seeing big numbers can be scary sometimes.
And all these NFL guys love it.
Oh, yeah.
Seen a lot of complaints about the numbers these basketball players are getting in these new contracts compared to what some of the NFL stars make. And I can see their point, but it's all about that player agreement.
It is.
Just one more thing about Dudley. When you look at the career leaders for the Suns, Dudley's up top 10 in a lot of the three-point shooting stats. So he's another guy that can come in and stretch the floor, maybe play a little four for us. We had a discussion about that yesterday, the three of us, and David thinks Dudley might be the starter at power forward this year.
Do you want me to go a little bit more in on that?
A little bit.
A little bit. So, me personally, as a part of the organization of the Phoenix Suns, just looking at what Dudley has done, being that stretch four type of guy, I think he's almost exclusively a stretch four about now. He's not as much a three he kind of always was a little bit of a tweener, not necessarily the size for the four, but not the speed of the three. So I think he's almost exclusively around this time a stretch four. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And his percentages have been good. He's been able to play spot starter minutes. I would not be surprised at all seeing him start. We don't really want to just throw 30 minutes a game at either Marquise, Chris, or Dragon Bender. So giving more minutes to Dudley to start is just kind of how I see it going.
Yeah, that...
Sorry.
Go for it.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to say, David, are you sick or something? Sorry.
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
This is just the more masculine, raspy David that we're just not used to.
It's something, all right.
Okay, all right. So, I can see Dudley, like, if it's a necessity, I can see us putting him in to start at the four. But I think a lot of that revolves around Tucker being our starting three still. Because Tucker can match up against some of those stronger fours a little better, holds his own down low rebounding a little better than Dudley too. So I think that'll take a lot of teamwork between those two to make sure they're keeping their bigs off the glass. All right, we're talking about power forwards, and we lost the two of them that played quite a few minutes last year in Teletovic and Luer. So Luer signed with the Pistons, a 4-year, just about $42 million deal, so a little over $10 million per. And then Teletovic went to the Milwaukee Bucks on a 3-year, $30 million deal. So those guys, they got paid, and it looks like they're going to be in pretty good positions to get some minutes and fill some needs on those teams. So what do you guys think about their new roles on their new teams, and what are we going to miss from them?
Well, losing Mirza, obviously you lose that three-point shot, but getting Dudley back kind of fills that a little bit for us. I don't know if he's quite like Mirza. You know, Mirza broke that record for most threes off the bench last year. I don't know if Dudley is going to put up those kind of numbers or if he's going to come off the bench at all, but he still fills that need. And in Milwaukee, he gives them shooting when they have all this athleticism already. So getting some outside shooting from Mirza is going to be nice. And he's going to be a good guy to be on the floor when someone like Antetokounmpo is driving to the basket and everyone collapses in the paint on him. He can kick out and Mirza can hit a three. You know, I think he's going to fit in pretty well in Milwaukee.
Yeah, I really like the Mirza signing for the Bucks. It's kind of come out that Mirza kind of was wondering about a trade to Milwaukee, I guess, around the trade deadline. I guess there was talks about that. So I think he really wanted to get back together with Coach Kidd. And I have nothing against that at all. I'm not even sure if we even tried to give him a better offer at all, because him and Dudley have the same length and money, so I'm not sure about that. That being said, he fills a huge need for them. They need three-point scoring, and he can play with or in any lineup for them, so I like it.
Yeah, Mirza he'll stretch the floor great for them, and I think this might be the second most sad I've been seeing a loss of a player. I was pretty bummed when Dragic left. And then yesterday, or a couple days ago, when Mirza got signed by the Bucks, I was legitimately bummed out.
Yeah, I didn't want him to go, at all. So it's one of those things where I'm definitely sad and would have loved to overpay him a little bit maybe to stay.
I will say I think I was a little more sad with Steve Nash to the Lakers and when we didn't re-sign Amari, but that's like a whole different era.
Yeah.
I was pretty sad not to get Mirza, but I mean, it didn't really seem like we were pushing that hard to sign him. So Still like him. I'm not going to unfollow him on Twitter or anything. So,
I just downloaded a new Mirza Teletovic Phoenix Suns desktop wallpaper.
Oh.
And I saw it right after he got signed there, and it...
Dang. You jinxed it.
It was sad. I might have to delete it just to get it out of my brain.
Speaking of someone that we didn't really try hard to re-sign, John Luehr, who wasn't he could have been a restricted free agent, couldn't he have been? We gave him a qualifying offer.
I think that was the case, yeah.
Yeah, and we didn't even do that. So, especially after drafting Dragon Bender and Marquise Chris, I kind of think we just told him to go find whatever deal he could, and we weren't bringing him back.
Yeah, that's probably the case, and he found himself with the Pistons. Van Gundy as the coach, I think that'll be a nice relationship there. And also, Henry Ellenson is there, another big, tall, Midwestern boy that, you know, Luehr could be a great influence on him, kind of familiar face almost. I think they're both from Minnesota or Wisconsin, one of the two. Up in cheese territory.
Luehr can teach Ellenson how to
do it. Yeah. That would be great. You just wait till Ellenson throws one down on Boogie in the preseason this year. Just blow your mind.
That's all you need.
Okay, but Luehr kind of fell out of the rotation with us last year. And, you know, he was, I think we had him for $1 million, just over $1 million contract. So I'm happy for him. I assume he'll get some more playing time. The Pistons could use a little help at the four. And that $10 million per year salary is pretty nice, too. So happy Luehr has a new chance to get something done. And what do you guys think this means for the power forward spot? Is there a free agent we might be looking at, someone to bring in towards the end of the bench, or is Big Sauce that guy for us already?
I'm going to say that I don't think that we bring anyone in. As much as I kind of wish we would get someone that's a little bit more of a traditional four to play along with or in the starting lineup while the other guys progress, I kind of just don't see it happening. I think our roster is pretty much set. We might get one more signing, maybe, but I don't think we have a whole lot of moves, and I think we're going to roll with starting Dudley and Tucker and then giving spot minutes to Chris and Bender.
Yeah, I agree. I think that the roster is pretty set. I would like to see Bender and Chris play some more than just spot minutes, but I'm not sure that'll happen. They will need time to progress. I think I'm just really excited about both of them. I think another part of this is the Suns front office has to look at this like a chess game and think way ahead. And, you know, letting Mirza and Luehr walk will give them some more space for the future. And when a few years ahead, when guys like Bender and Chris aren't on their rookie contracts anymore, hopefully they're going to be good enough to get quite a bit of money. So you have to think ahead for that kind of stuff. So while it's sad to lose those guys, and, you know, we didn't really get to see John Luehr's full potential, you just got to really think ahead.
Good stuff. So anything else about the Suns moves before we talk about the rest of the league?
No, let's go nuts.
All right. Well, I think the first thing we need to talk about, the biggest contract in NBA history, Mike Conley, back to the Grizzlies on a 5-year, $153 million deal. That sounds pretty crazy, but we got to get used to this new cap number, and remember, that's how it's going to be now.
So Shaq posted a fantastic picture on his Instagram, and it was him in a USA jersey from when he played on Team USA, and him saying that happy 4th of July, and he wished he was that young, so that way he could get Mike Conley money. which I thought was fantastic, and it was great. He's going to be highest paid for, well, let's see, Damian Lillard was the highest paid, technically highest paid NBA player for, what was it, like 3 days?
Yeah.
Because he had 152, I think, or 150 or something like that, and then Conley got signed for 153, so he'll last a little bit longer, but he's going to be tied probably in about 12 hours, so.
Yep, that's the truth. And one thing that stuck out to me, and I know a lot of us Suns fans were doing a little complaining about the Bledsoe and Knight contracts. They seemed pretty big at the time, and maybe people thought Knight was being overpaid. But if you look at it now, Bledsoe and Knight combined make $26.6 million per season this year. And then Conley is going to average over $30 million per year. So that's $3.5 million less for Bledsoe and Knight per year compared to what Conley gets per year. So,
I mean, they're on Mozgov money, though, aren't they? Four years, $70 million.
That's
Mozgov money. Oh, wait,
no. That also makes...
Sorry, that was Joakim Noah. He was... I'm sorry, I messed that one up.
Mozgov, what is Mozgov? 64?
He might be... I think he's 64. I
yep,
can't find
4
him
for
on the
64, Mozgov.
Whatever.
Okay, that's what I thought.
So they're making Joakim Noah money. Never mind. My bad.
All of this makes the Chandler contract look
oh, absolutely.
A lot better, too.
I don't know about that one, but sure.
Well, at least if we think about moving him in the future, the contract won't be as big of an issue.
Yeah, not quite the burden we thought it was going to be last year, now that we've seen this new cap, mm-hmm. so can't get too upset about that. And another guy, I really like what the Pacers have been doing lately. They got Al Jefferson, three for 30. That's Mirza money right there. They got Big Al.
Jared Dudley money. I have no idea what the Pacers are even doing. There are two teams that I just don't know what in the world they're even trying to do. That's the Magic and the Pacers.
The Magic. I don't know about those guys.
The Magic, yeah.
I don't know if there's enough basketballs for the Pacers to actually play together, because every single guy on that in that starting lineup has to have the ball in his hands to be best effective. And I think that the Magic are trying to do the 76ers route of just playing power forwards and centers.
Man, Ibaka and Biyombo manning the post, good luck getting in the paint against those two.
Except that Vucevic is going to start, isn't he?
Oh, I assume so, yeah.
Unless
yeah.
they trade him.
And then Biyombo assumingly will be like a sixth man with that $72 million contract.
Wow.
Any other contracts that have surprised you guys or have just stuck out?
Well, one thing, this is not related to free agency, speaking of the Magic. What they did with the Thunder to get Ibaka
is so interesting.
I know. Yeah, I missed the whole draft, but...
I forgot. We didn't even get Mitch's draft reactions at all.
Yeah. No, no. This
Sabonis
is
going
all,
11.
This is all I have to say. Sabonis to the Thunder is amazing because the Thunder learned that if they just play physical, they can beat the Warriors. And the Thunder were like one of the best rebounding teams last season, and Sabonis is this awesome rebounder. So they just get better there, and he plays really tough and physical, and he's going to get to learn from Cantor and Steven Adams. And I think the Thunder are going to the finals next season. We'll see what happens with this Durant stuff, but Sabonis on that bench is going to be insane. And getting Oladipo, man, the Thunder had a great draft.
We should have asked you about your draft thoughts before we started going into this. We should have. I completely forgot that you weren't on the last podcast. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. But yeah, the Thunder got a lot better.
Let's talk about Gonzaga a little more. Wiltjer signed somewhere, right? Houston.
And Kevin Pangos, my boy, K-Pang, he's playing Summer League. He came over after a decent year in Spain, playing for Gran Canaria in the Canary Islands, having this, like, amazing life. He's playing for the Atlanta Hawks in Summer League, so I'll be watching them, too. But, yeah, Wiltjer with the Rockets. But then they went out and signed Ryan Anderson, and I'm like, well.
Oh, hey, thank you.
Well, there goes Wiltjer's roster spot.
Thank you for bringing this back around. Yeah. I want Donatas Moniunas.
Yeah, there we go.
I'd love to see us throw him an offer. Rockets are pretty much full up at power forward. I just really like how that guy operates the post. We could use a post scorer. And another power forward.
I mean, we have enough cap space.
That's really my one request. That's all I want. Fill out that power forward spot just in case Bender and Chris aren't NBA ready right now. Like, what if they're both not NBA ready right now? We need a legit 6'9", 6'10", guy to fill in there, I think. It'd be a good safety valve.
Yeah, it would be nice.
I would love to get Demo, and cool. I think we have the cap space to just throw him a big, kind of overinflated deal and just tell the Rockets to match, because they made him a restricted free agent, right?
Yep, he's restricted.
Yeah, so just tell him, all right, match, go for it.
Give him Mozgov money or something.
I was almost wondering if you give him Biombo money, but I would live with Mozgov money.
I can't wait till I actually have, like, Biombo money and Mozgov money, like, numerized in my head so I actually know, like, oh, he has a Mozgov contract.
Let's talk about a couple other guys that went to teams that I wasn't expecting. How about Dwight Howard going home, basically?
Yeah.
That blew me away that he opted out of that great deal he had in the first place and took a chance on maybe not getting that. Or, man, I'm surprised that worked out as well as it did for him. But the Hawks are turning a new page with losing Horford.
They are.
It's okay.
And Jeff Teague.
I think that the Jeff Teague trade was a long time coming.
Yeah,
I'm all in on Dennis Schroeder, so you guys all know that.
You know who else is all in on Dennis Schroeder? Dennis Schroeder.
Dennis Schroeder, yeah.
He was pretty excited when Teague left that tweet he put out. That was pretty cold-blooded.
That was fantastic. I loved that so much.
I didn't see that. Wait, what did he say? I missed that.
Oh, I don't have it pulled up, but he was just excited that Teague had gotten traded and that he was getting the opportunity to be the starter. I think David's checking it out right now, but he,
I'm looking it up.
He wasn't very graceful with the whole situation.
The trade was, what day was it? It wasn't July 1st. It was,
it was the draft.
June 22nd? Something like that?
Something. I think it was like June 28th?
The 22nd.
Okay, here it is. Here it
22nd.
Is.
22nd. He posted it, I think, on June 23rd. And it's basically, he said, "Can't describe this feeling. I earned coach trust, and I really appreciate that opportunity. ATL Hawks." But I think he deleted the 22nd one where he said even more of like, "Oh, I'm the starter."
Of course, one of those deleted tweets.
Yep.
Okay, well.
What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. So the talk that Paul Millsap was going to be traded so that way Atlanta could keep Horford and play Horford and Howard was the dumbest thing I've ever heard, by the way.
I don't think that would have been a smooth lineup in that front court. Seems pretty
clunky.
The fact
that Paul Millsaps is noticeably and obviously better than Al Horford So right. It's like, I think he'd rather have Dwight and Paul Millsap than Dwight and Al Horford. Of course, then some Hawk fans were saying, actually, I'd just rather have Paul Millsap and Al Horford, which I kind of can dig that. But, you know, that was an interesting sign, and this, along with Dudley's homecoming, makes it the summer of homecomings. So, too bad Durant's not going to Washington. Otherwise, it'd really be the summer of homecomings.
Yeah.
So, going along with that, Horford, he signed with the Celtics. Pretty big deal. Looking that up right now.
Is he going to... Who are they going to start?
That's a good question.
That deal is a four-year, $113 million deal. And I have no idea who the Celtics plan on starting. Definitely IT.
I mean, I doubt they start Marcus Smart. You assume they smart Jay... Or, not they smart Jay Crowder. They start Jay Crowder.
Yeah, they'll start Jay Crowder, I'm sure.
Start Al Horford. They kept Amir Johnson, didn't they?
I'm not sure about that yet.
I think they did. So they could start him, keep rebounding in defense, and help them stretch the floor. They start Avery Bradley. So, I mean, they could do that. Or, I don't know. I have no idea. I don't think they're bringing back Jared Sullinger. So,
right. Yeah, I'm just... I can't believe they brought Tom Brady to their Kevin Durant pitch.
Oh, my gosh.
Get out of here.
Was
Bill Simmons there, too?
Yeah, Bill Simmons. Oh, he should have been.
Just, like, running behind them like a little puppy.
Oh, my gosh.
If the Celtics expect Al Horford to help them against Cleveland, they're going to need a lot more than Tom Brady to help them.
They brought Kelly Olynyk, too. I saw a picture.
Was it Smart and Olynyk? Was that the two player reps?
Why didn't they bring out Horford?
I don't know.
I think Horford signed with the Celtics like an hour after their meeting with Durant was finished.
Sorry, my bad.
That would have been a nice card to play, though. Be like, hey, that was Al Horford. He just signed with us.
Well, especially since... Billy Donovan and Durant were supposedly trying to get Horford to consider the Thunder.
Ah, wow.
And Enes Kanter had a tweet that was three emojis. It was an alligator, a broken heart, and a laughing face. So, gotta love Enes Kanter, but...
So, what does that mean, David?
Yeah.
Go in depth.
Well, translate.
So, the translating for that is because Billy Donovan... coach at Florida when Al Horford was there for the Gators, and that Gator love was broken because he signed with the Celtics, and the laughing face is Enes laughing because there were talks that they were going to trade him so that way they could sign Al Horford.
Wow, you're like the emoji whisperer.
You know,
someone's got to do it.
I'm going to go off track here for just a second, but...
We were already off track, so you're cool.
It's even more off track. Emojis are so interesting to me because some of the first writing in human history was, like, pictures and hieroglyphics, and, like, Egyptian writing was a lot of, like, pictures, and now we're going back. It's like we're going full circle, and now we're using images again to say things like... fire emoji. You've heard say that on the podcast before, and you know what it means, but we're talking about a picture of a little flame. You know?
Yeah.
It's so that's pretty interesting, but anyway.
Yeah, we're going back, like you said, full circle to, like, just cheap hieroglyphics, like... Mm-hmm. Uninvolved hieroglyphics, just a smiley face. That's how we'll communicate in the future.
Yeah.
Some would say we're de-evolving. Others would say that we're lazy. Either way.
Maybe one day we'll just make facial expressions with our faces to other people right next to us.
That's what's going to happen.
One day.
Hey, real quick, can we give a round of applause to Hassan Whiteside for... Yeah. going from a $981,000 deal last year to $98 million.
First to go from minimum to maximum, right?
Yep.
Give it up.
Former Iowa Energy player.
Ooh.
Ooh.
From D League to big money.
Nicely done. You know that Iowa Energy history. That's impressive.
Yeah, so that was great. How about Chandler Parsons getting another max?
Yep.
Didn't think that was going to happen. Especially since his knees are probably bad, but who knows?
Yeah, that's pretty surprising, but I think he'll be a great fit in Memphis, and he'll fill that 3 spot pretty nice.
Did you guys hear that part of the pitch for him to go to Memphis was a Skype call with Justin Timberlake?
Oh my gosh.
That would have made me sign.
I know.
Right now.
I would sign, like, on the dotted line for a dollar if JT called me and started talking about stuff. That'd be great.
You could give me the vet minimum if I get a weekly Skype call from JT.
Hey, I will pay you.
He has to sing once a month.
I will pay the Grizzlies $50 a week to have a weekly Skype call with JT. Let's make it happen.
I like it. We'll get working on that for sure. Another free agent that stuck out to me, Ish Smith, heading to the Pistons, 3 years, $18 million. People are noticing Ish. He's improving every year, and that's a nice little contract for him.
Yeah, you know, Detroit's bench looks really good. They got Ish, they got John Lure, they got Stan the Man. I mean, that's looking like a pretty solid bench now.
I'm glad they're in the East.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't say that often.
Well, what was the other one that I was going to say? Matthew Dellavedova. How about that one?
Getting 4 years, paid by the Bucks.
4 years, Deli money. $38 million.
Deli money.
Deli money. Yeah, he's a restricted free agent, but LeBron already sent out a tweet saying congrats on his deal with the Bucks. So the GM for the Cavs has already spoken that they're not matching. But
that's LeBron, right?
Yep, LeBron.
Yeah.
Let's talk about like a great fit. I think Deli is a really good fit to start for the Bucks like right away. He doesn't need the ball in his hand. He spaces the floor. He plays defense. I don't like him, but I think he's a really darn good fit.
He looks like a weird beaver with that stupid mouth guard.
Let him have it, Mitch. Just give it to him.
Funny story. At Gonzaga, no one liked Deli, obviously. Like, St. Mary's is our current biggest rival, and Deli was probably the least liked player from Gonzaga fans for the past... I don't know. People still really don't like him. There's not anyone to compare to even after he graduated. But in Las Vegas, the band sits right on the baseline, basically, like really close to the court. And someone went and bought a bunch of these huge mouth guards, and no one molded them or anything. So when they were coming down towards us, everyone would put these mouth guards in, and we'd just sit there and just stare at him. I don't know if he ever noticed, but when 30 people are wearing big, brightly colored mouth guards, it might be kind of noticeable. So, yeah.
I hope he noticed.
We did that just to taunt him.
I hope he holds a personal grudge against you specifically.
That's fine.
That would be fantastic.
I'd be fine with that.
Talking about interesting fits, Evan Turner, 4 years, $70 million to Portland.
That was surprising too, but it seems to me like every move Portland makes lately, I'm like, yeah, that'll work for them. They did it last year without their whole starting lineup from the year before. Why not?
Like, I'm totally second guessing it, and because I'm second guessing it, I'm just assuming that he's gonna like end up being crazy and he's gonna be the underrated signing of the season and blah 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 blah, because who knows.
What do you guys think about Luol Deng heading to the Lakers? 4 years, $72 million. Kind of surprised me.
You know, that's a better deal than Mozgov. So, as someone that frequently watches the Lakers, I actually like the deal. It lets them either slot him in at 4 or 3 next to either all three of Russell, Clarkson, and Brandon Ingram, or two of those three. And also, it kind of lets Brandon Ingram sit on the bench and he doesn't have to start right away, and makes it so he can kind of just slowly get along and doesn't have to play starter minutes. So I actually really like that, and I get what the Lakers are doing. They're just overpaying guys right now, but they have to. They've sucked the last, like, 3 years.
Yep. I see Deng kind of as, like, a bodyguard for Ingram. Like, when when Ingram's in and they, like, say the, like, LeBron comes in and Ingram would have to match up on LeBron, they'd instantly call a timeout and switch Deng out for him.
I mean, are That's you sure Mozgov isn't the bodyguard? He's big. He's Russian. Come on.
Mozzie. That's fair. That's a fair analogy there.
I mean, he has to make that paycheck somehow.
Have you guys heard, though, that, like, everyone loves Mozgov and that, like, the Nuggets would go to games when he was in Cleveland just to watch him because they still liked him so much as a person?
That's awesome. Yeah. Didn't know that.
That's the big thing with both of these signings for the Lakers. Both Mozgov and Luol Deng are huge, positive locker room guys. Everyone that plays with them loves them. So it just makes sense the more and more you hear about it. There are a lot of people that just aren't happy with those contracts.
Just tell him not to get Snapchat.
Or tell him to get Snapchat. Or, either one.
Or just don't use your technology, or make sure D'Angelo Russell is not holding a cell phone near you.
I did see that Iggy Azalea and Swaggy P broke up, though.
Well, yeah, but that's because he knocked up his ex-girlfriend. Well, not because of the other one.
Still.
No, and I'm sorry, he knocked up his ex-girlfriend again. Let me rephrase that.
Again. Swaggy P's just going to be Swaggy P. That's all there is to it.
The fact that he is 30 years old.
He is 30?
Yes.
No.
Yeah.
Wow. Well.
All right. Anything else you guys got about free agency?
Nick Batum with the Hornets. That's pretty good.
I think everyone knew that he was going to get maxed. Everyone knew that Harrison Barnes was going to get maxed. Mm-hmm. How about O.J. Mayo not being able to stay off the coke?
Yeah. That's
O.J.
You know, it's never a good time to get banned from the league, but when, but when the average, like, signing is for, like, $10 million plus, it's probably the worst time to get banned from the league.
Yep.
Oh, I didn't even think of it that way. That's just a kick in the butt after the fact.
I'm sure, like, he had to have at least gotten, like, $40 million.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
This offseason, like, without a doubt. Yeah. So,
he may have even gotten Mozgov money. You never know.
Maybe Biombo money.
Not Biombo money. Definitely not
quite. Biombo. Not quite.
He would have gotten at least probably Jeff Green money, which was 1 year, $15 million.
Man, it's a pretty sweet deal. 1 year, $15 mil.
Who would have known that Jeff Green could have paid that much for not showing up to games?
Sometimes I'm just like, I wish I could play in the NBA for 1 year. Like, I'd be set. If I had $15 million, man.
Just like a game check.
Yeah.
Do they get checks after each game, or is that football?
Yes.
Just one of those. I'll sit on the bench for
10-day contract.
48 minutes.
Lorenzo.
You know, after half of these contracts, I really feel like I should be getting a vet minimum, like, to sign on with a team. I haven't played basketball in, like, 10 years, but put me in, coach.
Yeah. Okay, well, I think that'll cut it for the free agency talk. Let's move into some talk about the summer league. And the one thing that sticks out is we don't have much experience on this roster playing the summer league, or especially NBA experience. Just Booker and Big Sauce Allen Williams are the only ones that have logged solid NBA game time minutes. So
and Allen Williams has barely logged solid NBA game time minutes.
Right.
Yeah.
But hey, he was averaging like a double-double per 36.
It's all about them per 36 and per 100 possessions.
That's right.
Yep.
So this summer league, we get to see the debut of Dragan Bender and Marquese Chriss playing the floor together. I assume they'll get minutes together over this whole thing. Do you guys have any idea what to expect from those two?
I expect Porzingis comparisons.
There may be some of those.
I'm going to go in with no expectations and just see what they can do. I love the summer league. I love seeing guys who probably won't make a team getting a chance. And I love the first look that you get at the new draft picks. So it's going to be interesting to see how all that works, and this will give them the opportunity to develop a little chemistry together. I also think it's going to give Devin Booker the opportunity to explore a little bit of leadership. I think that's going to be good for him.
You know, when it comes to Bender, Chris, and Ulis, I'm kind of focusing more on the draft picks. I have no idea about any of the other guys. I know the draft picks, Big Sauce and Booker. I think that we're going to get a better understanding of some of these guys' games as the transition to the NBA. Bender with an outside in, Chris with some of that athleticism, Ulis with some of that playmaking. We're going to see a little bit of that. But I definitely think we're going to be experimenting with Booker at the three. We're going to have Booker probably play a little bit as primary ball handler like he did at the end of the season. Just going to get him back into the groove of it. And we might start looking at Allen Williams and just bringing him and being like, okay, even though this is summer league, you're still going to be a bench presence, but we're going to give you those solid minutes on the bench in the summer league, and we want you to get comfortable with maybe getting those minutes normally in game time.
Yeah, and if you look back at Allen Williams' stats for last summer league in Vegas, he played with the Rockets, and he averaged 20-12 per game. So he was a man amongst boys out on the court for some of those games, and I think he'll be very essential to the success of our summer team. I don't think he's going to play a big role in the regular season, but I think he might be the star of the show during summer league. I'm really excited to see it.
Yeah, it'll be good.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
And how much is Booker going to play in summer league? Do you think he's kind of solidified his role as a pro already to maybe not have to bust his butt during summer league? Do we save him a little bit? Protect him a little bit? What do you think?
I could see 20 minutes. Like, maybe around that much. I don't really see him playing a whole bunch, but I could also see him taking up the challenge and wanting to play more minutes and be that alpha dog. So I don't think he's going to get a whole bunch, but it wouldn't surprise me if you see him in crunch time lineups in the summer league.
Yeah, and I think Booker is one of those guys who he's not going to go easy ever. He's always going to give his all. And I think that actually will warrant less minutes for him, just because you don't want to risk injury or anything. So, I mean, I'm fine with him going all out and getting a few less minutes. That's fine. But I like the idea of experimenting with him at the one and at the three. But I think he's solidified himself as a pro. But he's gonna go hard and not get a ton of minutes, and that's okay.
And the big thing, real quick, when they match him up at the three, look and see his defensive effort. They might try and move him and play him a little bit at the three just because some of those small forwards are a little slower and don't have that first step like some of the two guards. So it wouldn't surprise me if maybe he has a little bit of an easier defensive matchup, even though he doesn't have the size. Sorry. He doesn't have the size, but he is a little bit in tune with the quickness and can match up a little bit better that way on the perimeter.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I can see him getting plenty of minutes at the three, especially if you look a little deeper at the roster. Troy Williams might be the only pure small forward on the roster. He's a undrafted free agent out of Indiana this year, I believe. So he's 6'7". I'm sure he'll get some good minutes here and get a chance to show what he's got. But yeah, Booker at the three, that'd make a lot of sense. I'd like to see him matched up against some bigger, stronger guys anyways. He needs that practice. Then agreed. Just going through the lineup a little more, Alec Brown, our second-round pick from a couple years ago, he'll be back over on the roster, 7'1", 235, kind of a stretch 4, stretch 5, whatever you really want to call him. I think he's been putting on some muscle since we drafted him, and he played overseas for a year, so it'll be interesting to see if he can have any effect on the game right off the bat. And Kyle Keurig, kind of a cool story about him. Mitch saw this article a little earlier, but we signed him onto our roster. He was one of the first guys I noticed made it onto our summer league roster. So, Mitch, what did you read about him?
Yeah, so he is a 6'4 guard from Indiana. He went to Louisville. He was in the 2012 NBA draft, but His interesting story I found on WDRB.com, which looks like a local Kentucky news site. There's a story on here about how he had multiple brain surgeries. He was playing basketball professionally over in Spain, and his dad is a neurosurgeon, and all of a sudden, Keurig was noticing some pain in his head and having a lot of headaches, and it caused him to miss a game. And his dad was a little alarmed because he had never known his son to be one to miss a game. And so his dad said, "You better go see a doctor." And it turned out that Kyle had a brain tumor. And so they went in and removed it, but he had some complications, so he had to have a second surgery. And they took out a big piece of his skull to allow his brain to safely swell, and I'm not quite sure why the brain would need to swell or anything. I don't know that much about it, but that's what they did.
We're not brain surgeons.
No, we are
just
not.
Play one on TV.
But then they had a third surgery, a little bit of a quicker one, to go in and just put a piece of plastic where that piece of his skull was removed, and he was induced into a coma, and he woke up and was sitting straight up and asking when he could play basketball again. And his dad and the doctors were saying, "You better focus on walking first." And they weren't quite sure what would happen, but he's back at it, and he's playing on our summer league team. So a really cool story for him.
Yeah, definitely a feel-good story, and I know I'll be rooting for him. I hope he tears it up.
Oh, yeah.
And David and I will be in Vegas for Sunday's game.
So
we're pretty excited about it. We're gonna check it out. I hope if we're gonna play Duke Booker,
34-year-old Bon Maker make his appearance in the summer league.
Oh,
who are the Suns playing on Sunday, David? Is it the Bucks?
No, it's not.
No?
Oh. I think it's Bucks and Portland that are playing, or we might be playing Portland. I don't remember, but.
Portland or the Celtics?
Might be the Celtics.
But we're going to be there, so it doesn't matter. We're going to see it happen.
Yeah, that is going to be awesome.
And I got one more thing about Summer League here. I am excited to see what Tyler Ulis can do.
Oh, yes.
I have high hopes for him. He's just a little guy, needs to put on some weight for sure. I think he's like 150 pounds soaking wet, so definitely needs about 20 pounds, but I think Summer League will be a good place to just get a real good feel for what he brings as a player. Hopefully he gets some favorable matchups and can do some work. I'm excited to see him play. And the reunion of Ulis and Booker should be cool, too.
That will be. A guy that
I can't wait to watch that romance.
a guy that I'm looking forward to watching is Derek Cook Jr. from Wyoming. 6'9", power forward. He was undrafted in 2015. The only reason I know him is because he played for Wyoming, and I always root for those guys. So it's cool to see another Wyoming kid get a shot.
Right on. Well, I believe it's time to end the show like we always do. It's time for David's Comic Book Corner and Mitch's Face Melter Mayhem Metal Monday.
Oh, never gets old.
Yeah, so this week, what I read, or what I want to shout out, I guess I should say, is an entire run of Grayson, is what it's called. Grayson.
Oh my goodness. One more time.
Hold on.
One more time.
All right. Grayson, it's written by Tom King and Tim Seeley. Basically, what happened is there was a story where Dick Grayson, the original Robin, died, but and got his identity outed to the world. So instead, everyone thought he was dead, so he went and joined a secret spy organization, and was basically James Bond. And this series just ended, the last issue, which was the third annual. Not the last issue of the full story, but the last Grayson issue to be printed was just came out last week. It was my favorite run going on at that time, or at this time. One of my favorite writers right now is Tom King. He writes Vision, which I've talked about already. And it's basically James Bond meets superheroes. James Bond meets superheroes is the right term. And I love it. It's about 20 issues and three annuals. Hopefully it's going to be collected. But I'm really sad to see it go and really excited for what comes next for Dick Grayson.
Sounds like my life.
That sounds awesome.
It's a lot of fun.
No, that sounds cool. Before I go into my face-melting metal album, I need to plug the country of Kenya. I was just in Kenya for about 10 days, and it was awesome. If you have the opportunity to go, definitely do it. It's very interesting because I noticed things that were very different from the U.S., but so many similarities, too. But the people there are very happy, and they are very welcoming to visitors, and it's really fun. I highly recommend it. But into the Face Melting Metal album, I am going to go with the 2014 album by The Amity Affliction, a band out of Australia. Their album is called Let the Ocean Take Me. It's a fun album. I really like to blast this one really loud. My favorite tracks are Pittsburgh, Don't Lean on Me, The Way Down, and Death's Hand. When I saw them live, Death's Hand was like a really brutal song. So that's probably my favorite on the album and my favorite song that they perform live. So check that out.
Good stuff. So I got my Siberian Husky, my 10-year-old Siberian Husky, a huge air-conditioned doghouse in the backyard. It is 4 feet by 8 feet, and it's plenty tall. Like, he can stand up in it, no problem. But it's air-conditioned, and I put a little temperature reader in that. Stays about 80 degrees. So that's just great. He doesn't have to be cooped up inside. He can go run around and then hop in his doghouse. So that's just been really nice to have. So, like, man, as hot as it gets here, it's really nice to have something like that for your dog. I know it's pretty, he's pretty spoiled, but it's great. Not going to lie. All right. That'll do it for this week, everybody. Be sure to check us out on social media. Follow us on Twitter under the handle @SunnyandPHXPod. Find us on Facebook under the name Phoenix Suns Multiple Sources. Hit us up through email with questions or suggestions at sunnyandphxpod@gmail.com. Head over to our website at multiplesources.net/Phoenix Suns and the entire Multiple Sources blog and podcast network. And we'll be back in next week, talk about the Summer League, and then probably get into some more about Bender and Chris and Ulis. So check us out next week, and go Suns!